Welcome back to Community Voices on NPR Illinois, 91.9 UIS. For the Community Voices team, I'm Randy Eccles, and we're thrilled, as always, to have another community member in, and that's Kendra Gaistifer. You are the owner of Custom Cup Coffee.
I am.
Do you have any friends or partners involved in that?
Oh, well, my best friend, my husband, Brent Gaistifer, and I started the business in 2014.
You're downtown at 319 East Monroe.
Yeah.
You've got coffee. You also have tea?
We do have tea. We roast our own coffee, which makes us kind of unique. We buy direct trade single origin coffee and we roast it in-house. And that's really how our business started. We buy our coffee from small farms. Everything we do is direct trade, so it comes right to us. We roast it by its origin, so we don't do any kind of blends or flavoring or anything like that. That's how our business started. And then we started serving it by the cup so people could try it. Then we moved up and did espresso drinks, and we also offer tea from Big Heart Tea out of St. Louis. It's a women's-owned tea company. They do their own everything. We've used them since we started, so we really love working with them. We also have a bakery, so everything is made in-house. We have sandwiches, we have baked goods, we have cookies, all that fun stuff.
You're right down there where at this time of year, there are also a lot of legislators and people coming through. Is that great to be downtown and have that kind of business going on?
It's really great, especially now after COVID. It's almost like it's back to normal again in its own way. There's a lot of people in town. There's a lot of people on the streets. It's just exciting to have new fresh blood out there. We also have all the people that are our regulars that are downtown employees or make a stop to us on their way to work. It's nice because we get a huge gamut of people.
You were mentioning the sourcing of the coffee, and coffee can be sort of political in that sense, right? Tell us a little bit more about, you were saying what you sourced and how you do. How do you avoid the political issues?
That was something my husband and I were very passionate about because I used to work for the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, and they're all about knowing where your food comes from. When we started, we really wanted to make sure we were getting the best quality beans, but also sustainable and how they're grown, but also respectful of the people that work there and the culture that it comes from. We work with a distributor out of Charleston, South Carolina. It's Balzac. They are a fifth generation coffee distributor, so they've been working with the same farms and farmers for that long. We did try to do our own, just us and the farmers, but there was a lot of issue with language and shipping. When you work with African countries, one country might be easier to work with, but it's hard to get that product out. And then getting it shipped here, sometimes things get stuck on boats and things like that. So we use this distributor and we make sure that it's very transparent where we buy our beans from, what farm you buy them from. It's literally stamped on every bag. So you can look that up and see. It's all sustainably grown because they're all such small farms. That's how they've always done it. They aren't labeled organic because, like with fair trade, it's one of those things where you have to pay to be part of that. They're already doing the practices. They're just not paying to be stamped organic.
Let me use my own experience as sort of a coffee journey. As a young person, I wasn't sure I wanted to drink coffee like my parents. They seemed like they had to have it or they couldn't, you know, function.
Yes.
By college, I started to realize, oh, a little caffeine kick is not a bad thing when you're trying to study.
Yes.
And then I really started to get, especially in the 90s when coffee seemed to explode out of Seattle and other places, mm-hmm. I got to enjoy that there was a taste to it, actually. And that when people are figuring out coffee, first of all, as we were just talking about sourcing, why can't I grow it in my backyard, or why isn't it here grown domestically?
We do not currently have the climate for it. Most coffee is grown on the equator and 30 degrees above and 30 degrees below. So it's kind of like a band that goes around the world. So you'll notice when you're looking at the map that kind of covers that central part of Africa where you'll see Ethiopia and Burundi. And then if you go over to Central and South America, you're going to see Costa Rica, you're going to see Peru. That's where the majority of coffee is going to be growing. But you'll also get small islands off of out in the ocean, like obviously we have Hawaii. Then you can kind of keep going, and there's ones closer to Japan and things like that. Unfortunately, with how the climate's going, you're able to grow it a little bit further now than you used to originally.
So we understand a little bit why it's not something that we're growing in our own gardens. As we start to get involved with coffee, how do you develop a taste or preferences? I mean, there's so many. I get overwhelmed sitting in the shop looking at the menu.
Oh, it's very overwhelming. We try to explain it like people explain wine. You like red, you like white. Obviously, those are those differences. There's varietals, there's tasting notes, and that's all to give people an idea of what it kind of tastes like. So one of the coffees I brought for you today, I believe it's the El Salvador, has like chocolate notes, or it has fruit notes or things like that. That doesn't mean that there's those things in them. It's just kind of on a tasting wheel, very similar to a color wheel. It helps describe what you're experiencing. If you have a very good cup of coffee, there's just something wonderful about it. You don't have to add cream. You don't have to add sugar. It's just a nice cup of coffee. My husband, when we first started, didn't even want us to offer cream and sugar. He just wanted people to drink it black. We have moved on from that. It's just wonderful. And if you have questions, it's great to like look online, but we try to be very friendly in the shop because coffee is something anyone can drink. It doesn't need to be something that anyone's scared to ask questions about. It's just a food product.
Well, I found your website really helpful that way. There is a lot of good information there and things I didn't even think about. I think I had the whole light, medium, dark wrong. I tend to opt for a dark, but actually light may have more flavor and more caffeine, I think you said, too.
Yeah, literally when we're roasting our coffee, the lighter you roast it is the less time it's being roasted. So that's actually keeping more of the caffeine in the bean. It's also keeping more of the acidity in it. So that's going to give you a little bit more punch to it. That's what we use for our espresso. A lot of people get confused and think espresso or French roast are all different kinds of coffee beans. They're not. They're just ways you roast your coffee. A medium roast is kind of what we think when we are roasting that is the best taste that you can get from that coffee bean. But some people really like having it a little lighter, that's a little bit more acidic. But then a darker roast, which I think a lot of people think, I want the darkest roast you have. That's actually quite a bit less caffeine and it has less acidity, but there's more of a burnt taste to it. But if that's what you like, we offer that also.
I learned something today that was very helpful talking about being overwhelmed by choices. Sometimes it seems like there's used to be, here's a coffee machine and pour a cup. Now it's, is it drip, pour over, cold brew? Can you explain those a little?
Yeah. So drip is really just a coffee maker. We use bun. And when people say, I want a cup of coffee, instead of trying to confuse anything, we're like, okay. And we just do drip. A pour over is basically a hand brewing method. You grind the beans a little coarser than you would for a drip. You use hot water. You measure it all out. You do one cup at a time, or you can do a Chemex, which is a different way of brewing but similar in method, and that can do kind of a whole pot of it. And you slowly pour water, you wait for a bloom, and then you keep pouring. It's kind of one of those lazy Sunday afternoon type things.
It's a ritualistic.
It's a ritualistic, yes. But there is, if once you've kind of dive into the coffee world, you can tell a difference. But it does take a little bit of time, about 3 to 5 minutes. A cold brew, I'm not allowed to drink it anymore because I drink it too quickly, but it is an over the night, it's like an 18-hour to 24-hour brewing process with cold water and a coarser coffee bean. It has a nice kick to it caffeine-wise. It is served cold. It has a lot less acidity than a hot coffee. It's just the brewing method.
And it's different than an iced coffee.
Oh, correct. An iced coffee is basically just getting your coffee cold, like what you're brewing, or you can do like an iced latte, which would be a cold espresso, like you brew it hot and then add ice and milk and water. It's cold brew is it's brewed and it tastes just like that.
We are talking with Kendra Bastifer from the Custom Cup about coffee. One of the things we see developing is there are some major chains that are getting rid of the coffee inside, the cafe feeling, that great coffee shop vibe, and more focused on drive-thrus. And that's not what you are set up as. And have you had to think about that at all?
We have. When we first started, though, we were just looking just to try to do anything. So our first space was just 300 square feet. So we couldn't even have a table and chairs in there, even though we would have loved it. And we have since expanded to a shop that was next door. So we literally just cut holes in the walls to go. But we're right in the middle of a strip of shops. So yes, we are not a drive-through at all. We are definitely a get out and get your coffee type of place. But I do love it. Anyone that walks in, there's 60% chance I know their dog's name, their kids' names, all of that. And that's something you don't get in a drive-through. We are a specialty type product, so we do want to make sure everything is made properly and correctly. And we think part of the experience is coming in and talking to us and doing that. But we do sell our coffee locally to other coffee shops or grocery stores. So if you just want to go in and grab it, you can also do that.
Not only do you have it available at several stores in town, but also some restaurants serve it as their coffee.
Yes, they do. I'm so grateful.
As you take a look at what it's like to have a shop, is Springfield unusually coffee developed? It seems like we have a lot of local coffee shops.
I will say there has been lately. When we first opened, there wasn't. There was only one out of Petersburg, and then a kind of a huge roasting situation out of Decatur, but there were no local roasters. My husband and I love coffee, and we just kind of learned how to do it on our own, but with like YouTube videos and stuff. We started with a Whirly popcorn popper on the stovetop and then started at the farmer's market and kind of grew from there. But it's so wonderful to see that there's so many other roasters, because that's something that in the coffee community, you want everyone to succeed. So it's so exciting because it's so fun to see how other people roast their coffee or kind of what their focus is. Like some people really like to focus on the espresso or their dark roast. But everyone that's in the coffee community here in town has all been kind. We all get along. We all want to support each other because we want it to be something that people are proud of purchasing, because it is a commitment.
And as somebody who now is part of the coffee culture, we all want our coffee availability. So please keep up the good work. Do you think some of the growth of coffee here in Springfield is because Bunn's located here?
I would hope that that would have something to do with it. They are not in the roasting world. They're definitely more focused on the brewing. I would say personally, that's not what geared us to do roasting, but I will say that we use all of the Bunn products where we can in our shop, because we try to use local whenever we can. It is pretty cool that it is from here.
As far as roasting goes, that's not what every coffee shop does. I mean, that's pretty unique to you.
Yes. Unique that you can walk in and watch us roast. A lot of places and roasteries just focus on being a roaster. So you'll just be able to buy their coffee at the grocery store. Ours is everything you drink in our shop that's coffee is being roasted in shop, usually the day before or 2 days before that. It's hard sometimes to make sure people realize that that's why it's so unique and special, because it's definitely going from the farm to us roasting it to you drinking it. There's not a lot of middle people in there. We even stamp all the bags ourselves. It's a very unique place, and I'm so proud of it. When you walk in, I hope you notice all that goes into how much we love it.
You deliver the coffee, right? You can get a subscription. And you also talk about, as you were just saying, keeping it fresh. If you do get a subscription, you don't want to get a big amount, because if you don't use it all, it doesn't stay fresh as long.
Correct. I mean, it's not going to go rotten, but if you're going to spend money on good coffee, you want it to be as best as it can be. Usually that's a 2-week window from roasting is when it is the best. So from the day after to 2 weeks is when your coffee is going to be the freshest. You don't want to put it in the freezer. I always want to make sure I tell people that. You want an airtight container out of direct sunlight is how you'd want to store it for that. We do subscriptions. We've been having a hard time lately doing deliveries. We're trying to figure out how to get that to work better. But right now we're doing deliveries Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. We try to do that to the doors. We're trying to keep it more central. But Springfield is a goofy place where you can say you're from Springfield, but it's about 30 minutes away. When the gas was expensive, it was a little trickier to get out there when we could. That was our business model to start with, was just being a roaster and delivering coffee.
Now there's a coffee person as opposed to a milkman, right?
Yes, correct. And that's why we don't spend a lot of money on our packaging too, because it should be something like bread or milk, where you should buy it for the product and then you can recycle the bag and then keep going. Otherwise, it's just one of those things where I know it's so cool to look on the shelf and everything pops off and it looks beautiful. But ours is really meant to be a local business, and you're buying a good product, that you're buying the product and not the packaging.
So once you get that coffee at home, I just throw it into my Mr. Coffee drip mixer, or do you have a better recommendation for home brewing?
Well, you can buy it whole bean or ground. All the beans when you're in the shop are whole bean, but you can get it ground for however you brew it. So if you brew it for drip, or if you brew it for cold brew or French press, you just let us know and we can grind it for you that way. I would say you can leave it just in the bag. If you plan on using it within your 2-week time, it's perfectly fine in there. That's kind of why we pick them. But then if you do know you're going to take a little bit longer, like you want to save this for the good days or things like that, I would just put it in an airtight container and put it in the closet.
Not the freezer. And that helps keep the flavor.
Yes, okay. For sure.
Beyond the roastery, you also have bakery cafes.
Yes.
So are you also doing baking while you're roasting?
Yes. So we have a wonderful baker. She was also from the farmer's market. Her name is Kelsey. She had Rolling Scones, which I thought was the cutest name ever. We hired her to be our baker, and she has really transformed everything. We make our own bagels. She makes them every day. It's a 2-day process. Our own biscuits, our own breads. Anything you would expect a bakery to have, we have. And we have had a hard time kind of pushing that. That's also what we do. It's just wonderful. We ended up just hiring an assistant baker because we're trying to keep up with everything. And it's pretty exciting in this economy to be able to do that.
If anybody else is sitting listening right now and they are on their coffee journey, what would you recommend to them stepping out into the future?
Oh my gosh. I would just be open-minded and don't think, oh, I'm not going to drink that because that tastes... Folgers is so different than what we do, or things similar to that. Just be open-minded. Just like when you're trying anything new, you'll find what you want, but you just need to just try a little variety. Because I know it seems scary because there's a lot of coolness that goes with all of it. Just calling or emailing or even just stopping in the shop and talking to us, we would love to help you. And anyone that's a roaster in town or anywhere, they're so passionate about what they're doing. They would love to sit and talk to you and help you find what you want.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Kendra, anything else you want to share before you leave?
Downtown Springfield is a gem, and I hope everyone realizes it and supports it and understands it. I am not someone that's a big joiner of things, but I did join DSI and ended up becoming the board president this year, which is very much out of my box. Support your downtown and support local goods and services because that's your neighbors and those are the people that support your schools and your organizations.
Thank you for doing that. And if somebody wants to find out more information or subscribe, where would they go?
To our website, customcupcoffee.com. You'll also find us on Instagram and Facebook.
Kendra Basta, thank you so much for joining us from Custom Cup Coffee here on Community Voices. We're looking forward to staying alert.
Thank you for having me.
Stay in touch with Community Voices and other news by subscribing to NPR Illinois Daily at nprillinois.org, a daily email newsletter that helps make sure you are in the know.
You are listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.